This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in a series entitled Priorities. We're in a series entitled Priorities. We are in part five. We're going to do a quick recap, as far as, like, does anybody remember what I talked about for part one? Priorities, that's right. And so I said that if I was mentoring you, I wouldn't be mentoring you, but I'd be mentoring your neighbor. And if I was just to talk straight with your neighbor, I say, hey, if you want to live a good life and have a great 2024, this is what you're going to do. Y'all remember it now, right? And then the next week, we talked about the priority of prayer. We talked about that prayer should not be our last response, but it should be our first response and our last resort. And then the next week, we talked about the priority of focus. And whatever you focus on the longest is going to be the strongest. And that's why you have to focus on the right things, what God wants to do in your life, your goals and your dreams and getting to the next level, your relationship with God, your family, things that are really important, right? And then last week, we talked about the priority of rest. And that was just an incredible lesson. And so I hope you've gotten something out of all of them. And so today, I want to talk to you for part number five. So today's priority is the priority of winning the lost. And I want to talk to you about lifestyle evangelism. Last week, if you remember at both services, I closed and kind of taught you, you know, how when I was a kid, you know, I kind of learned the Roman road and, you know, and just how to evangelize and get people saved and those kind of things. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit. And I've got something for you to kind of help you with that. Matthew, the 28th chapter, I'm going to read verses 18 through 20 from the Message paraphrase, and it's really the Great Commission where Jesus is telling them, hey, I want you to go and spread the gospel. I want you to make disciples. I want you to baptize them, and I want you to keep doing it over and over and over, and I'm going to be with you as long as you do this all the way until the end or until I come back. And so the Message paraphrase says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet far and near in this way of life. And so in what way of life? The kingdom. Everybody say the kingdom. So, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practices of all I have commanded you. Jesus says, everything I've taught you, I want you to go and teach somebody else, right? He says, I will be with you as you do this. What are those next three words? Okay, let's try it again. What are those next three words?
Day after day.
Yeah, see, there really are people here. So day after day, after day, right up until the end of the age. And so Jesus, if you notice, he says, I want you to meet people far. I want you to meet people near. He said, I want you to do this over and over and over. It was the Great Commission. When Jesus came to this earth, he only preached one thing, and that was the gospel of the kingdom, all right? If you look all through the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to see he was only preaching the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is, in its simplest terms, the good news of God's established order in the earth through Jesus, whereby men might be saved, submit to his authority in the earth, and live a better life. I mean, that's in its simplest terms what it is, right? And so evangelism is to be a way of life for us, and it is also to be a priority for us, because when Jesus went back, Jesus comes, he dies, he sheds his blood, you got it. He does everything. He talks with the disciples right at the end before he goes back to the Father. And when he went back to the Father, he had no plan B. His only plan were that we were going to go and spread the gospel. You got it. Make disciples, get them baptized. You got it. So that they can have eternal life and one day go to heaven. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so that's what it's all about. Lifestyle evangelism, in its simplest terms, is the promotion of the lifestyle and the love of Jesus, all right? And that's the thing you have to understand. If we want to share Jesus, we've got to share his love, because he is love. Does that make sense? So it's going to be hard to be mean and share Jesus. Does that make sense? It's going to be hard to be fake and share Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. The promotion and the lifestyle of the love of Jesus. Don't look at your neighbors when I talk like that. You look right at me, all right? In and around the unsaved and uncommitted through genuine relationship to allow the Holy Spirit to coordinate a moment to witness and share the gospel message, right? And so that's why, you know, it's real important that I make sure that I'm living my life in a way where my life is a testimony, that I'm living my life in a way where if anybody on my job or in my community or in my neighborhood is ever hurting, they ever feel like, man, I need someone to talk to, that they'll think of me and you. Does that make sense? That is how it is supposed to be, all right? And so it's real important. I'm going to talk to you over the next few weeks. I'm going to have a class on a Saturday. I think it's March the 9th, and I'm going to talk to you just about soul winning and evangelism. I'm going to talk to you twofold, you know, a little bit about how we're just supposed to do it in our everyday lives, and then how you do it when you're out in the community and those kind of things. That following Saturday, March 16th, we're going to invite a group of people. This is only people that want to, people that feel like this is my thing. To actually go out into the community, you got it, and just talk to people about Jesus and pray with people and those kind of things. And I get it, everybody. You say that every some people are like, you know, but even if that's not your thing to go out into the community and do it, you are to live a life. You got it, where maybe you're afraid to talk to someone you don't know, but you know your coworkers, you know your family, you know your neighbors, you know the lady at Food Line or Piggly Wiggly. You got it. So we have a responsibility either way. Does that make sense? All right, that's a good place to clap. So Psalms, the second chapter in the 8th verse, is something that we have prayed from the beginning of our ministry, all right? For those of you that have been here, you know it's in our prayer books and our confession books and those kind of things. You know, if you pray those prayers and you've seen this scripture, he says, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. And so evangelism is so powerful and so important. And how many in the room know that evangelism should not be a distraction from our personal schedule, but a part of our everyday life? Does that make sense? I'll say it again. Evangelism shouldn't be a distraction from our personal schedule, but a part of our everyday lives. Pastor's going to teach it to you in a way where, man, you can understand it and you can do it, right? And you start by reaching those that you know, your family and your friends and your coworkers and your neighbors. You got it, you know, and those kind of things. And so that's how we do it. There's all kind of ways to reach people, but I'm telling you, your everyday life is the greatest witness. That bottom line, your everyday life is the greatest witness. And watch this, if you live your life the right way, the Holy Spirit can open doors for you to talk to people about Jesus. That's why you got to be, amen, go ahead and clap if you want to clap. That's why you have to learn to be nice, not some of the time, but all the time. That's why you should always post nice stuff on social media, praise the Lord. So smile, be funny, buy somebody some lunch sometime, be generous. You got to go out of your way to help somebody, right? And so your personal testimony is powerful. You know, explain, you know, invite them to the church and explain how, you know, the ministry has changed your life and helped you and helped you grow and those kind of things. And so you have to understand the importance of living my life, you got it, in a way that others can see Jesus, that I'm supposed to be a light that shines. I'm a city that's on a hill, right? And so I might be the only Jesus that someone ever sees, so I need to be a good representation of who he is. Does that make sense? So even as tough as it can be, when you're at the red light and it turns green and you're about to put your foot on the gas, but the person behind you just feels like, you know, a millisecond is all you need, right? When all you're asking for is a second and a half, and they start, you know, blowing, honk, you know, you got to calm down, you got it. Let your heartbeat settle back down, you got it. Let your pressure go back down, right? So you keep the right attitude, because even the person behind you one day might be someone that you can lead to Jesus. Oh, he's crazy, man. No, I know what I'm talking about. I really know what I'm talking about, all right? So let me talk to you about components of an effective testimony. So when I'm talking to my friends and when I'm talking to my neighbors, when I'm talking to my coworkers and those kind of things, like, you know, a lot of times people are like, man, this is tough, right? And the great thing is you can go back. You can take notes if you want, or you can go back and listen to this. Everything's on our website, absolutely free, you know, and so you can go back and listen to it. But here's the components of an effective testimony. Letter A. the first thing you need to share is where I was, right? You know, and you have to be transparent. When you're most transparent, you're most effective. Right? There's a lot of times I've shared a lot of things with you over the years about things that have happened to me, things that I've went through, how, you know, I remember years ago, I used to really share how when I first got into the military, you know, I didn't know what pornography was. I wasn't raised like that. I was raised in a Christian home. You got it. And I got introduced to that, right? And, you know, for like months and months, those images were in my head. You got it. I wanted to do things I knew I wasn't supposed to do. I was having this struggle because I wanted to do the right thing, but it was like the wrong thing was there. And I went through this process where, man, God delivered me, and I believe he delivered me, number one, because I wanted to be delivered. And I think that's what we have to understand. You know, deliverance is there, but we have to really want deliverance. And anyways, I've shared that, and you will be amazed how many people have come to me privately and told me, man, you, like, for you to say that and be honest about that, like, that really helped me. That helped me overcome this or overcome that. And the reason why, and then I've had people that tell me, man, I would never get up and tell my business like that. When you're most transparent, you're most effective. I really don't care, you got it, like, you know, how somebody feels about it. I used to, you got it, you know, but the longer I live and the older I get, the more, you know, I really, you know, I can't care about it, you got it. In a sense, I want everybody to like me. I'm like everybody else. But in another sense, like, I can't really care if you don't, if I haven't done anything wrong. Does that make sense? You got it. And you know, so, and I don't mean that the wrong way. But I've got to make sure that I'm going to do what I need to do in a way to pastor this church effectively so you can go out and you can live a better life and you can help other people live a better life. At the end of the day, that's what it's about for me. And so you tell them where I was in a bad place, right? You know, it reminds me of this reel. I don't know if this is real, is super spiritual, but anyways, I've been off social media for a while. I don't know if you notice. I'm, you know, unless I'm sharing something that I know is going to, like, we have a schedule for when we post something and I might do that, but I just kind of been off a while. Nothing's wrong, but I just want a high level of focus, right? And so I'm unless it's football, I'm not watching TV, right? You know, and I'm not on social media and those kind of things, because you will be amazed at how those things distract you. And then one thing I've learned, the longer I've been off that stuff, the less I have opinions about things. I mean, I literally don't have opinions about it. So you see some, say, oh, okay, and you just keep on going. But if you get on it too much and see the people going back and forth, it gets in you. You got it? And you got to remember that your body is the temple. So don't let a whole bunch of junk in you. Praise the Lord. All right. So, but when I was watching reels, there was one that, you know, it just words that go down, and it says, I think something like, I'm 80% sure there are people that don't like me. And then it kept typing, I'm 100% sure I don't care. And, you know, I'm not saying have that kind of bad attitude, but I'm saying you have to have that mentality where if you know you're living for Jesus and you're doing your best and you're doing everything, you can't worry about that. You can't please people all the time, but you can please God. All right. So where I was, right? So you be honest, be transparent. I mean, I remember when I was in a bad place. I remember when I didn't have my life together. I remember when I was addicted to this. Because immediately when you do that, it connects with people. Because now they see, okay, this person is normal. Because they might be looking at you and you got your life together and God's been favoring you. Things are happening good for you. But you have to sometimes let people know, hey, I'm just like everybody else. And I had to go down my own path like everyone else had to go down their own path. But God did some amazing things, you know. And so where I was in a bad place. You got it? What was happening? You got it? You know, my car got repossessed, you know, or, you know, we got kicked out of our house. Just, you know, whatever your thing was. I lost my job because, you know, I wouldn't show up or, you know, just whatever. And so, but then you go to letter C, what God did for me. You got it? But I heard about Jesus. You got it. I went to a good church that the pastor wasn't caught up in himself. He wasn't caught up in titles. He didn't need everybody to push him. He just wanted to teach us Jesus. And I came to the knowledge of Jesus, and I came to the knowledge of his love for me. And I'm telling you, it didn't happen overnight, but over time, God really started helping me. He was starting to give me the confidence I needed for this. And he was helping me to overcome this. I was dealing with this, and I dealt with it every day. But little by little, I realized 2 or 3 days went by until I had to deal with it. And then, you know, a week or two went by until I got to the point where God delivered me from it, right? And then letter D is where I am now. Where I am now. And now, man, I'm at a pretty good place in my life. You don't start acting like, oh, I'm living on top and can't nobody tell me nothing. That's not witnessing. You got it. You got it. And so don't say what that is. All right. And so where I'm at now that, you know, man, God has really blessed me and my family. Like, we're doing good. I've got more peace than I've ever had, you know, and those kind of things. My family's together. Things are going well. And then letter E, who do I give the praise to? And man, let me just tell you, I give all the praise to God, because if it was not for him, I would not be where I am. And the same God that helped me is the same God that can help you. Isn't that good? That's how you do it. So where I was, what was happening, what God did for me, where I am now, and who I give the praise to. If you can just learn that, you got it, then, you know, and then, you fix it up your own way. You got it. You don't have to say it exactly how Pastor said it, but you have to make sure that you have those different components, because people need to know that you were going through something. And everybody in this room has gone through something. I don't care what nobody says. Everybody in this room has gone through something. Everybody's gone through some tough times. All of us at some point in our life has done something that we're not proud of. Like, just everybody in the room. I know we don't like to talk about it. I know some of that is years ago and it's under the blood. You don't even want to think about it. I get it. But we can never forget where we came from. You got it? Because if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we would be. All right, let's look at the Good Samaritan. Y'all remember him? Luke, the 10th chapter and the 30th verse. Y'all get anything out of this? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. What? And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and even stopped and looked on the brother and passed by on the other side. So, you know, moral of the story, don't be religious. All right, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had what class? Compassion. Sounds like what Jesus has for us, right? And went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, you got it, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And so we see the story of the good Samaritan. And there's several things that we notice in this story. And the first thing that we notice is that the Samaritan did not allow his schedule to rob him of an opportunity to serve. And I think we have to understand, that's why I said that evangelism can't be a distraction, but it has to be a way of life for us. I can't be so busy that I see someone in the store and I know that they're hurting. They've even kind of said something. I don't even know them. I just say, hey, how you doing? I thought they were going to say, I'm fine, right? And then they say, well, you know, it's been tough, you know. And because you're busy, say, okay, well, it's going to get better. And you're gone. No, the Holy Spirit right there just set up a moment for you to be able to talk to them. Does that make sense? And so you have to be aware of those things. Number two, he addresses the man's brokenness without rebuke or ridicule. Now, how in the world did you get like that? He didn't do that. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, you got it, we'll do that. One thing I learned is that when people are in a really bad situation and they're hurting, you got it, you know, that they need you to love them and have some compassion on them. Watch this. Even if you can't help fix their situation. Does that make sense? Because maybe you can, they tell you what's going on, you can't do it, but you can still be nice and show the love of Jesus. You can still pray with them. You can still check on them, right? Number three, he touches him, watch this, with hands of compassion and not just hands of duty. You got it. I see him over there, and you know, or, well, Pastor said, the Bible said we're supposed to do this, so I guess I'll make sure I talk to 3 people this week. That's not going to go good. Matter of fact, don't talk to nobody till you get it right. Right? Okay. All right. Number four, he treats him with value by providing quality ministry. So he gives him the oil and the wine, and then he, you know, he tells the innkeeper, hey, if there's anything else he needs, just take care of it. And when I come back, you know, and so he was generous. You got it? And I think that we should all be generous wherever we are. You got it? And so whatever level you are, be generous. You got it? And so, you know, and it doesn't, and generosity doesn't mean that you have to give someone $300. You got it? You'll be amazing. You'll be amazed at how you can do things that are generous for people, even just beyond money, with your time or your energy or your effort. You take the time to stop and think about somebody and call or check on them and send them a text. It just makes a difference. The next one, number five, he brings him to a safe environment so others could care for him. I think that you should focus on every week bringing someone to WLCC. I really do. Because you know at this church, pastor ain't going to fool with them. You got it. Ain't nobody else going to mess with them. You know it's a safe place. You know when they come, you know, they're going to enjoy it. You got it. We got some humor. You know, they're going to laugh. They're going to have a good time. You know that when they leave, they're going to have the same feeling that you have. Does that make sense? All right. So I've got something for you. Everybody say operation. Oh, I'm sorry. Say operation.
Operation.
Multiply.
Multiply.
All right. And so, because we want to multiply the kingdom of God, all right? It's not even just about multiplying our church. Where our church grows, we have people that are always joining. And so we know our church is going to multiply, but we really want to multiply the kingdom of God. There's some people that you can get saved that may never come to this church, and that's okay. The whole goal is just to get them saved. Right? Now, if they're on your job, you got it, and they live here in New Bern, you get them saved, yeah, you should invite them to the church because, you know, that makes sense, right? But there might be people that you get saved that never come here. They go somewhere else. They may live out of state. You got it? And those things. And so we have to make sure that we do this. All right. I've got something that I'm going to hand out to you. Not yet, brothers, but in a minute. I'll let you know when. Let's put that on the screen. Boom, right there, all right? So that's the one side that says Operation Multiply, Mark 16 and 15, going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature is there. And then on the other side is prayer, connect, share, get them here, all right? Everybody say prayer, connect, share, get them here. All right, so this is what, and at the bottom, you'll see the five. And y'all just leave that up on the screen, please. You'll see the five there. And so I want you to start thinking, and Holy Spirit will help you, about five people that could be co-workers, there could be family members, there could be your neighbors. You got it, probably someone you have a relationship with, you got it, that you know, man, this person needs to be saved. This person needs to be in church. This person's life could just be exceptionally better if they were, right? And so I believe that God will help you with that. And then you get the names, right? And then the first thing you do is prayer. Pray for five friends that do not know Jesus. Pray for their specific needs and a hunger for Jesus. And when we pray for them, that's the thing, you know, that we pray that, you know, as the Holy Spirit opens the door for us to witness to them, right, that they have that hunger and that they have that desire. And then connect. It says, listen and watch for their needs. Build the friendships through acts of kindness that show you care, right? And so, you know, I know these people, you got it? And so, you know, it's a coworker. We go to lunch every Wednesday. Well, maybe this Wednesday, you know, buy them lunch, you got it? You know, now, we don't do it with hidden agendas. We do it because we're generous, because Jesus is generous, because we're just showing the love of Jesus. Does that make sense? All right? And then share. Pray for your friends to accept Jesus and share your testimony of all the Lord has done for you. And then the last one is get them here. Invite ushers. Y'all can come pass them out. Invite your friend to Without Limits as your special guest. And so I want everyone that wants to. If you don't want a card, please don't take a card. You got it. But if you like a card, I want you to take a card, and I want you to pray and ask the Lord to help you, that you're going to take this lesson that I've just taught, that you're going to take this card, and together, you know, you're going to start, living a life where that whole lifestyle evangelism is not at the bottom of your list, but it's close to the top of your list. Does that make sense? And so I think that's what we're going to do. And so I want you to work on this. And then, you said, Pastor, I need a lot of help in this area. Well, I think Saturday, March 9th, we're going to be here, I think at 10:30. We'll start announcing it pretty soon. And I'm going to have a class about it. And it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interactive. I believe if you're not comfortable now, by the time you leave the class, you'll be comfortable doing it within your circle. And then I think a lot of you all will be comfortable of doing it even outside of your circle, right? You know, and so there's a waiter or a waitress that serves you at a particular restaurant that you go to that's probably not saved that needs Jesus. And you'll be amazed that if you were really focused on that, you got it, because you've already probably built a relationship with them, right? And so we are going to multiply the kingdom of God so that the kingdom continue to advance, because at the end of the day, how many know the goal is to get everybody to go to heaven? Does that make sense? All right. Let's go home, Maestro. I think we've done good. All right. Y'all are reading it. Some of y'all are not paying attention to me right now, but it's okay. That's why I gave it to you at the end. Yeah. All right. Repeat after me. Say, I can do this. One more time. I can do this. And this is what I want you to work on. I want you to work on. And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for this lesson. And I thank you for these people and their heart to win the lost, to make lifestyle evangelism a priority for our lives. And so, Father, simply we ask that your Holy Spirit will just help us. Help us to figure out our plan that's specific to our life and how we do life, that we might share the gospel, to share the good news with other people, that you might open doors. And Father, I thank you that as you open the doors and people are receptive, that we have the confidence to share our testimonies, that we have the confidence to share Jesus with other people, that we have the confidence to pray with other people and to pray for people. And so, Father, I thank you that we will multiply the kingdom of God, and that many, many more will be saved as a result of our being intentional to win the lost. And so, Father, I thank you for giving us all a heart and a hunger to win the lost, to get everyone we know saved, so that everyone can live a better life. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.